But I know that Psalm 34 is a very favorite psalm for me, and I go here often. And we're going to look at four verses, just four select verses in this chapter, and then we're going to read one verse in 2 Peter chapter 2, and verse number 9. But let's read here in Psalm 34, and we'll start with verse number 4. Psalm 34 and verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Then verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. Skipping down to verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. And then verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise God. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 9. If you'll flip over there with me, and I'll just read this one verse. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I think you very quickly are going to conclude that Psalm 34, the major theme of Psalm 34 is God's able to deliver you. He is able to deliver you. Let's pray. Lord, we commit this time to You in Jesus' name. We thank You for Your word, and I ask, Lord, that You would just bless and anoint, and Lord, that the word would just speak very directly to the hearts of people, especially those who are in great need today, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I have always been kind of a peacemaker type personality. I always look for a way to resolve conflict, and I don't like conflict. I don't like confrontation. I don't like any of that. I like everybody to love everybody. But it doesn't always work out that way, does it? And if you find out at some point in your life that you have an enemy, it bothers you. Bothers me. And nobody wants to think that they've got an enemy or more than one enemy. But I have bad news and good news for you today. So we'll get the bad news out of the way first, and that is you do have an enemy. You do have an enemy. He hates you. The devil himself, Satan himself, is your enemy. And he absolutely wants to destroy you. He absolutely wants to overthrow you as a Christian. He not only, that's not just his desire, but he has a plan. You have to ignore the scripture completely if you don't believe that Satan has a strategy. He has a plan, and you're the target. You're the target. I'm a target. Anyone who names the name of the Lord, anyone that is attempting to serve God, and especially if you're attempting to move forward in the things of God, then you're gonna see the enemy rise up. His head is gonna be lifted up against you, and he's going to try to bring you into a snare, to try to defeat you and to destroy you. I had a call a couple of days ago from someone, a pastor, who when he began talking to me, it was like, why is all this happening to me? Why am I having all these problems? Why are all these circumstances on me? He said, I'm meeting with a group of men in our church every day, and we're praying for revival, and he went through all the special effort that they're putting forth right now to see God move. And he said, but look, let me just tell you. And he began to tell me all the different things he was going through related to finance and related to family, and just down the list, all these things he was dealing with, troubles and problems. And I know really he was just wanting somebody to vent on. And I wanted just to come right back at him and say, yeah, me too. Me too. And just about everybody that I know that is ever putting forth any effort toward the things of God experiences this adversary, the devil. Amen. You've got an enemy, the devil, and he's, you know, he does not have all those wonderful attributes that we talked about last week in Sunday school that God has. He is not all-knowing. He is not omniscient. But he knows most things about you and me because it's obvious. He's had thousands of years to study human personalities and how we respond and how we react. And so Satan pretty well has your number and my number. And he's not everywhere present either, is he? He doesn't, but he does have a host of demons and all those hordes of wicked and evil spirits that are out there that are really just doing his work. And so Satan, he knows what's going on in your life, and he's a party to it. He is working against you. He's working to destroy you. He knows where you live. He knows where you work. He knows the pathway that you follow. He's doing his best to destroy you. That's the enemy that we have. Working against us all the time. Psalm 140, and I'm going to get to the text in just a minute, but I'm going to read another verse here. Keep me, O Lord, from the hand of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who hath proposed to overthrow my goings. The proud hath hid a snare for me, and cords, they have spread a net in the way. That's the enemy. He set a trap for you. And he does it all the time to try to stop you and to hinder you from pursuing the things of God. This week, I was really troubled when I read the account in the paper about General David Petraeus. General Petraeus resigned as the director of CIA this week under accusation of moral failure. He was a decorated officer of the Army, served for 37 years in the military. He was the commander of the Allied forces in Iraq, and then he shifted over and was also the commander in Afghanistan. This is one of the most decorated generals in our country, probably one of the most brilliant military minds in our country. He understands about strategy. I read a little bit about what he did whenever they were taking Baghdad and how that the plan was so perfectly orchestrated by Petraeus, and it all just worked because this man has had all of these years training in strategy and military plans, but then this week, we all, the country and all the world, are aware of the fact that he has committed a terrible moral failure. He's going to be remembered, no doubt, surely, as a military person, but now the mark is on him. Most of what's going to be remembered is not all of his great abilities, not his chest full of medals, not all of his genius and his ability, but what's going to be remembered is that he failed. Isn't that a heartbreak? Isn't that a sad, sad thing to have to even consider? But it really shows human frailty. It helps us to see that not any person is able to stand in their own strength against the enemy's efforts to try to bring you down. Satan has a strategy. He's got a plan. And you're the target, I'm the target, the church is the target. He wants to hinder us and stop us from moving forward for God. He'd like to take you down, he'd like to take me down. He's working continuously to do that. All through the scripture in the New Testament, it describes the fact that Satan lays a snare, or he has a strategy, he has a plan that's laid out to take you, to destroy you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, and they that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Satan lays in wait. He makes the plan, and he looks for the opportune time to take you down and to destroy the potential of your life. Whether you're pursuing God for revival or for greater spiritual strength, or maybe just who you are and what place you feel in your testimony's sake. People on your job are depending on you to be a man of God or a woman of God. People in your family, they're depending on you to be that one that is a righteous influence in the household and in the family. And Satan knows that if he takes you down, that he's going to take everybody else down. Many others are going to be hindered by your failure. Let me just remind you, though, today that the Scripture says that God is able to deliver the godly out of temptation. Amen. Even though you have an enemy, God has the power and the ability, no matter what Satan tries to do, God has the power to deliver you from that. You don't have to fail. You don't have to fall. You don't have to lose your testimony. You don't have to fail in your stand for God and for the things of God. Psalm 124 and verse 6, you'll see this theme all throughout the Scripture. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Praise God. Hallelujah. That God can work in your life, and he can, even though you can't escape yourself from the snare of the fowler, but you can, because God comes in his power and he breaks the trap. He breaks the snare and he causes you to be able to be set free from that attack and that snare of the enemy. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Most of you, no doubt, can look over your past and you can see times in your life where Satan was making a play for you, and he was trying to stop you and to hinder you, and he's thrown everything at you to make you think that God doesn't care or that he will not help you. But God delivered you and God helped you. And this morning, all of us, you may be under an attack of the enemy, and Satan may be really trying to hinder you and discourage you and even stop you in the work of God that he has given you to do. But God can break the snare. He can deliver you from this attack of the enemy. The good news is that God is able to deliver the godly out of this trap. Praise God for that. Amen. You don't have to fail. You don't have to fall. You should never have to give up. Don't lose heart. Keep your hope and your confidence in the Lord today. He will help you. Psalm 34, if you notice at the top of the psalm, it says a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. You remember the story of what happened to David, that he's on the run from Saul for his life, and he's fearful. He's facing this attack. See, if Saul's against you, then the whole nation, all the armies of Saul are against you. And even though you've been appointed by God and anointed by God to be the king, he's running for survival. He's trying to find a place to hide. And the Bible says that you have to go to about 1 Samuel chapter 21, I think it is. You have to see that David went up to the border of the Philistines. And he thought he had nowhere else to go. And so he makes the terrible mistake of going into the territory that was controlled by the Philistines, his arch enemies. David was famous for killing Philistines. He was famous for killing their great, great general, their great leader, Goliath. They sang songs about him in Jerusalem. Saul slew his thousands, but David 10,000s. David was famous for his military accomplishments, but now he's running for his life. And he doesn't see anywhere else to go. And see, he goes to the land of the Philistines. You know, I have a really hard time understanding this, but I've witnessed it a lot of years in the church and pastoring a lot of years now. I've seen people get beat down and come under the attack of the enemy and the snare of the enemy. They're just about caught in the trap of the enemy. Instead of running with all of their heart toward God, they begin to lose their vision and their commitment to God. They even start attaching themselves to the world. They start going in that direction instead of following hard after God. I don't understand why people quit praying, why people quit the Word of God, they quit the house of God, they quit commit all, they forget to do, and they forsake all these things that they know are the will of God. And in a time when they're just about to be taken in the snare of the enemy, run to the enemy? Absolutely not. You run from the enemy. David found himself in the most horrible, embarrassing situation because he's down there in Gath. And now he's so fearful, he realizes that they recognize him. They say, isn't this the one that defeated the Philistines? And when you read the chapter, you realize that he was actually carrying the sword of Goliath with him. And that no doubt they recognized the Saul, the sword of Goliath. And he gets so afraid that he thinks they're gonna take my life, or they're gonna punish me, they're gonna lead me through the streets of the city and ridicule me, and this is all that I'm getting ready to face all this. And the Bible says that he feigned that he was a crazy person. And he starts all kinds of gyrations and crazy acting, spittle's running down on his beard. Words are coming out of his mouth that are crazy. And they all are thinking, we don't want this guy. What's wrong with him? We don't want him. And the miracle of it was, through all that craziness, God delivered him from his enemies. And they set him out of the border and said, get out of here. And the Bible says that he goes then to the cave of Adullam. And there is where he writes this psalm, no doubt. The Lord delivered me out of that situation that I was in. Let me tell you, if you're experiencing pressures and the attack of the enemy, and you feel like you're about to go down, you need to run to God. You need to run to the things of God. You need to be more in the Word of God than you've ever been, more in prayer than you've ever been. You need to be in every service that you can possibly be in. You need to be spending time with the people of God and be encouraged by the things of God among God's people. Don't run to the enemy. Run to God with your whole heart. Amen. And God is able to deliver you. I've seen people, they get in all kinds of trouble. They start blaming the very ones who could help them. They blame the church, and they blame their parents, and they blame the preacher, and it's their fault, and I'm going through all this, and I've been forsaken. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. And you're all the time you're sinking in despair, and the very ones that the enemy's trying to convince you are against you are the ones that are for you. Amen. And are praying for you and love you and are concerned about you and want to see you lifted up out of that circumstance that you are in. Amen. Now let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Excuse me. And verse number 4. Psalm 34 and verse number 4. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You need to be delivered from fear. Fear is a very real thing that the enemy uses against the people of God. Fear, your heart just overwhelmed with hopelessness, overwhelmed with the fear of what might happen or what might be happening. But I want to remind you that there's only one thing that will cure fear, and that is deepening your relationship with Jesus Christ. Getting closer to God, calling upon the Lord, drawing nearer to the Lord. Perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. Perfect love casteth out fear. And where does that perfect love abide? It's in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you take advantage of this wonderful, perfect love? Well, you press into the things of God. You draw closer to God. You spend more time with the Lord and in prayer and in the Word of God. You deepen your fellowship with the Lord. Amen. There is no fear in love. They can't coexist. If you find yourself overwhelmed by the fear of tomorrow or next week or what might happen in the days that are ahead, if you're in fear over that, then you need to turn your attention. On Wednesday of this week, after things didn't go all the way, I wasn't all that happy about Tuesday. But when Wednesday came, I made up my mind. Actually, before Wednesday ever came, late Tuesday night, I made up my mind, okay, that's it. I'm not going to read the paper. I'm not going to pay any attention to all these things that are going on in the world. I'm going to get my mind on the Lord. I really repented of spending so much time, you know, watching the polls and watching all these things that were going on, because I know deep in my heart the hope of the country, the hope of the world is in Jesus Christ, and it's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I gave the whole day Wednesday to just total focus on the Bible and on listening to a couple of sermons and just focusing. Wednesday night we sang about I don't know how many hymns and I gave a little background on the hymns and who wrote them and what they were going through when they wrote the hymns and went through all of that. Took a little time doing that in the service, and by the end of the day, I have to tell you, fear and worry and disappointment, it had to go out the door. Because perfect love pushes fear out the door. Amen. They can't coexist. And so if you find yourself dealing with trouble and despair and you're worried and you're fearful and you don't know what's going to happen, there's one sure way of making sure that fear makes the next exit. And that is fill up your life with the things of God, with the love of God. Amen. With the Word of God, with all these wonderful things that are ours in Jesus Christ. Fill up your mind with that, because perfect fear is cast, our perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. The word means fear is like a punishment. It's like that not only do you have this worry that's on your, but Satan sends fear your way. It's like a punishment to you. You're it's a suffering that you experience. Fear hath torment, and you lose sleep, and you lose a lot of things and a lot of wonderful blessings and benefits that are yours because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because fear is taking hold of your life. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So we know that fear comes from the enemy of your soul, and it's a trap of the enemy. And that's why that the psalmist in this verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. He was talking about the enemies of the Philistines, and he was talking about Saul, who was his enemy, and all the armies of Saul that were pursuing him, and how that he felt alone and deserted and troubled in his circumstance. But he said, I just sought the Lord, and he heard me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is not from God. God does not give you the spirit of fear, so we know exactly where it comes from. Another thing about fear is that if you allow fear to control your life, it becomes the dominant force in your life, then it begins to control even your future. It begins to control what's going to happen to you if you're living in fear, whatever that you have fear of. It controls your future. Job said, for the things which I greatly feared has come upon me. What had come upon him? Well, he lost all of his possessions. He lost all of his family. He even lost his health. He lost everything. His wife said, curse God and die. You say, well, what did he fear? Those were the very things that Job had feared. He feared the loss of his children. He feared the loss of his wealth and his possessions. He feared the loss of his health. All these things now have come upon him because he allowed fear to dominate and to control his life. But God delivers us from fear. Praise God. God delivers us from fear. And that's what David says. One more verse. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Oh, I already read that verse. Maybe I need to read it again. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Amen. Psalm 34, verse 7. Now keep it in mind in the context here of this psalm that David has just escaped from Saul's armies and from the enemies of the Philistines. He's hiding in a cave and he writes this psalm, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. One of the things that the enemy does, he convinces you he's trying to take you in a snare, he tries to convince you that you are all alone. He tries to convince you nobody cares. Nobody loves you. Nobody's praying for you. That's the lie that Satan wants to promote in your life. He wants to convince you that you don't need to put any of your hopes or confidence in the Lord, because nobody really cares about what's happening to you at this particular time, and you just feel all alone. That was David in the cave, despairing, alone. But then, out of faith, he says that the Lord sends his angels, and they encamp around about me. Amen. Let me tell you, you're not alone. If you're in any way remotely connected to First Pentecostal Church, you're not alone. Your preacher cares about you. Everybody else, the family of God, cares about you. But we're just small compared to the fact that you have behind you the Lord himself, the power of the Spirit of God. You have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the angels of heaven, all the host of heaven that are encamped around about you. And this word encamped, it's describing, it's like in battle terminology here, because whenever they set their battle in array, they set up their tents in a particular way. They're not just out camping out somewhere. They have set their battle in array, and the tents are all pitched in a particular way, in a particular direction, so they can spring to your defense at any time. Glory to God. Amen. So if you're feeling all down and out, I'm all alone, nobody knows, nobody cares, you're listening to the devil. You're listening to his lies. You have got the body of Christ. You've got the church of Jesus Christ. You've got the people of God behind you. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost behind you. You have the angels of heaven all encamped around about you. All the heavenly hosts are on your side. You don't have to cave in to the attacks of the enemy. That God comes and he breaks the snare of the fowler. Amen. And you are able to be set free. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I should have wrote in my notes here, by this time, they will be all on their feet, shouting and dancing. I forgot to put that in my notes. If I would have, no doubt, that's what would have been happening right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not all on your own. You're not alone. You're not forsaken. God cares about you. He knows the sickness. He knows your fears. He knows you worry, the worries you have. He knows the things that are keeping you awake at night. He knows the things that are weighing you down through the middle of the day. He knows all about it. And if you'll cry out to the Lord, he'll help you and he'll deliver you. Amen. This is a chapter about deliverance. Chapter 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. All of their troubles. The righteous cry and the Lord hears. Just think about that for a moment here. That you may not feel like you're all that important, but God has promised numerous times in his word that if you'll cry out to the Lord, he'll hear you. Amen. The righteous cry and the Lord hears. He knows right where you are. You may be in the car driving down the road and have bad news and heaviness in your mind and spirit. But you can cry out to the Lord driving down the road. You can cry out to the Lord on your job. You can cry out to the Lord with this assurance that when the people of God say, "Oh God, would you help me?" that God in heaven hears that cry and he is going to come to your rescue. You're not alone, but God will come, and the Bible says that he will deliver you out of all of your troubles. Amen. No problem, no situation, nothing that you're facing is too big for God. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what it is. The enemy can set you free and give you confidence and hope in the Lord. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Bright this morning in Sunday school asked, this year, how would you measure your spiritual growth? Let me just remind you that many times you're growing spiritually when you're going through the worst trials of your life. When your faith is being put to its greatest test, you're growing. You're stretching in a way that you never have before. You're learning lessons that you've never learned before. It's the greatest trial of your life. You've never faced what you're facing right now. But God delivers you out of all of your troubles. All of your troubles. And so when you review this last year of your life, and you think, well, have I grown in the Lord? And first, it may have come to your mind, well, have I done greater works for God? Have I been living in victory this year? Is there any evidence of that? Well, if you're like most of us, we have times when it just seems like God's just moving and we're just enjoying the blessing and the favor of God. Then, wham, we get hit with some attack or some trying circumstance, some trouble in your life, and you think, oh, Lord, I'm not making any progress. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. You're growing in the Lord, and even in your trial and your trouble, if you'll not lose faith and confidence in the Lord, God will bring you out of this trial and you'll be stronger on the other side of it. Hallelujah. Amen. So David is reminding us here in these four, actually the entire 22 verses here, he's letting us know that it doesn't matter. You may feel like that you're in a cave. Really, the word there in Psalm 34, verse 19, the word afflictions, it means narrow places. Narrow places. The Hebrew word means very narrow, that you're being pressed in a very narrow situation. And you don't know how to get out of it. You see, the little birds that were caught in the snare of the fowler, the more they struggled in it, the worse their problem became. The only way that they could get out of that snare, that was someone had to come and free them. And that didn't happen very often. But in the kingdom of God, the Bible says that God has broken that snare. He comes and he breaks the snare. And the birds that were once held in captive in that snare, that net, the snare has been broken. And now the birds fly out and they ascend back toward heaven. And they are in their high places, perched in the trees once again, no longer in the trap. Glory to God. That's what I want to see for you. That's what I'd like to see for everybody in this place here today. You've gone through it. You're going through trials. Amen. Well, just join the party. We all have. We all have. We've got worries and we've got fears and the enemy attacks us and we go through all kinds of different circumstances, but we have hope and confidence in God. That he is the one who delivers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Hallelujah. All, that means your thing you're dealing with right now, your worry, your circumstance, your trouble, whatever that it might be, sickness or financial or family or whatever it is, God delivers his people out of all of the snares of the enemy. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the hope of your deliverance today. And I know, Lord, that there's no trouble, no problem, no circumstance, Lord, that you will not move, Lord, if the people of God will cry out to you. And Lord, I know that your word is true. Just as David cried out to you in that cave, no doubt lonely, despairing, fearful. Lord, you have given us hope and confidence today in your word because we know, Lord, that your word is true and forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Minister, Lord, to needs in this place. to people in their need. We ask in Jesus' name.